I'd like you to take your Bibles for a few moments together this afternoon. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 4, rather. Galatians chapter 4, reading verses 4 and 5. Perfect Moment in Time has been our Christmas series, and we conclude that series this afternoon with the theme of a perfect mission. I want you to think about the mission of Jesus Christ, the mission that brought him from heaven to this earth. Why did he come? Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 say, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship." Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 from the Jerry Brooks version reads this way: "But when the perfect moment in world history had fully come, God sent his Son, the perfect gift on a perfect mission." The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is an undeniable fact of world history. One more can no more deny the fact of Christ's birth than one can deny the fact of the birth of Abraham Lincoln. You see, I believe that most of us in this room, we know the account and we know the facts. Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Yes, we know Bethlehem, the place of Jesus' birth, is both well marked and documented historically. Now, this afternoon, for these next few moments, I would like for us to move from the historical fact of his birth to ponder the incredible mission that brought Jesus to this world. The question then is why did the Father send his Son? And what was his mission in sending him to this world? And for the answer to this wonderful question and very important question this afternoon, we're going to turn to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. For Jesus often spoke of the reason why he had come from heaven above and what his mission was. First of all, I want you to consider how Jesus said he had come to do the will of his Father. Said he had come from heaven above to do the will of his Father. You can read that in John chapter 6 and verse 38. Here's what Jesus said: "For I am come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but to do the will of him who sent me." Notice here, Jesus makes it very clear he is on a mission. Jesus made it clear to his parents, earthly parents that is, at the age of 12, when he said to Mary and to Joseph, "Know you not that I must be about my Father's business?" Jesus was declaring to them at the age of 12, "I'm on a mission. I'm not here to do my own will, but I'm here to do the will of my Father, which has sent me." Friends, you talk about a one-track mind. That was the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is evident even at the age of 12. He is on a mission, and he is not going to be delayed. He will not be sidetracked. He will not be sent down some dead-end street. He's going to stay with the mission, stay with the plan. He knows why the Father has sent him, and he is here to do the Father's will. There is never a single bit of what we call rebellion between the Son and the Father. The will of the Father was always the will of the Son. Jesus came to do the Father's will. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, we all know that account. He is in the Garden of Gethsemane, he is praying, and he says, "Father, if there be any way that this can pass from me, this death that is about to take place at the cross, and the price that I will soon pay, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Notice how he submits his life in every circumstance, every situation, even unto death. He says, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." As Jesus stood before Pilate in judgment, Pilate asked Jesus, when you go and read the account in the Gospels, he asked him the question, "Are you a king?" To which Jesus responded, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." He was not speaking about kingship here. He was speaking about the debt that he would pay and the cost that would be to each and every one of us had he not gone to the cross of Calvary. He said, "I have come on a mission. And I will stay with the mission. The reason why I have come is not to be an earthly king, but to give my life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to this world then, the Bible says, and Jesus, out of his own mouth, he said, if you want to know why I'm here, I have come to do my Father's will. Turn to your neighbor and say, he came to do his Father's will. Now, secondly, not only did he come to do his Father's will, but the Bible says Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. We'll put them on the screens for you as well. Here's what Jesus said. Now, I want you to see how clearly Jesus, he tells everyone why he has come. Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle, no wise shall pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. You see, in Jesus' day, many thought that his teachings were something new. They even said it was something radical, even controversy or contrary to the message of the Old Testament scriptures. However, Jesus wanted to clear up this erroneous thinking, and he said, think not that I've come from above to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but I've come to fulfill the law and to fulfill the prophets. Now, what does Jesus mean by this? You see, the law and the prophets have proclaimed there was a coming Redeemer. The Old Testament records several hundred prophecies, more than 300 to be exact, regarding the coming of the Messiah and this coming Savior. Genesis chapter 3 starts out in the very first book of the Bible. In chapter 3, it promises that there's one that's going to come that will crush the head of the serpent. In Isaiah chapter 7, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. In Isaiah chapter 9, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. The prophets clearly identified what the Messiah would be like when he comes. Jesus came to fulfill the law and to fulfill the prophets. If you read through the Bible, you'll discover in the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews uses a word over and over and over and over to describe Jesus and to describe the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the key word that is used all throughout the book of Hebrews is the word better. Jesus is better than angels. He is better than Moses. He is better than the law. He is better than the earthly priesthood of Aaron. He is a better sacrifice. All of this you'll find in the book of Hebrews declaring that Jesus, the one that came from heaven above, is better than the old system or the old law. Friends, Jesus then, the Bible says, came to fulfill all the law and the prophecies of the Old Testament prophets. Thirdly, I want you to see something else this afternoon for a few moments, and that is how Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, this is where it really begins to get exciting for us. First John chapter 3 and verse 8 says, he that committed the sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might what? Say it, church.
Destroy.
Might destroy the works of whom?
The devil.
So the Bible says the reason why Jesus came then was to destroy the works of the devil. That word destroy simply means to loose, it means to dissolve, it means to sever, it means to break. But I like the last of his definition, it means to demolish. Jesus came from heaven above to demolish the power of the devil. In Genesis 3 and verse 15, we alluded to it a few moments ago. It says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. He said, Satan, you're going to bruise the heel of the coming Messiah, but the coming Messiah, when he arrives on the scene, he is going to crush your head. And aren't you glad that Jesus at the cross and Jesus at the empty tomb, he absolutely crushed the works of the devil. He set the captive free and all the wonderful works that he did for us. That's right. He destroyed the works of the devil. The prophet Isaiah declared 700 years before the birth of Jesus that the coming Messiah then would be a devil conqueror. Listen to this incredible prophetic word that Isaiah penned under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Isaiah chapter 61. Starting with verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now think about this. This is written 700 years before Jesus was born. And Isaiah is saying here, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, here is the ministry. You will be able to identify the Messiah when he comes. This will be his ministry. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to mourn, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Now let's go fast forward for a moment to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 4. And in Luke chapter 4, Jesus goes to his hometown, and he is going to read there in the synagogue. And he reads this portion of scripture found in Isaiah, or rather, in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 19, which refers back to Isaiah 61. Listen to what Jesus read that day. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And then the Bible says, Jesus, he sat down, and every eye in the synagogue was upon him, and he made this declaration, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled right before your very eyes." And they didn't like that at all, because it was at that moment that Jesus was declaring that everything promised in Isaiah 61 was the reason that he had arrived here on planet Earth. I want you to consider what Jesus said there for a moment. He said, "I've come to preach the gospel to the poor." You know, Jesus did not come as royalty for royalty. He was born in a cattle stable. His earthly father was a carpenter, not some kind of a ruling monarch. He was raised in the city of Nazareth with the common folk, not in Jerusalem, which was the city of religion, nor in Rome, which was the city of law, or in Athens, the city of philosophy. Jesus, the Bible tells us, came to reach the poor, the downtrodden, and those that were forgotten. Aren't you glad that our Savior cares about everyone? And the Bible said, "I've come to the poor." He lived amongst them. He loved them. He did everything he could to show them that the Father above had a concern for those that were hurting and going through hard and difficult times. So he said, "I've come to bring the gospel to the poor." But he also went on to say he'd come to heal the brokenhearted. You know, the Bible says his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. You know, if you're looking for a counselor, you're looking for a recommendation for one of the great counselors in the Milwaukee area, I would have to tell you there's a counselor above every counselor, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the Almighty God. And the Bible says his name shall be called. Now, in the King James Version, there's a comma. If you read from the King James, there it reads, "His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor," as though it's two specific separated names. But in the original language, it is literally, "His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." And I am so glad to declare to you this afternoon that Jesus came. He said, "The reason why I've come is I know there are brokenhearted people, and I've come to heal the brokenhearted." Yes, he is the Prince of Peace. And friends, I want you to know there's no one that can heal a broken heart like our Savior Jesus Christ. I want you to notice he also said, "I've come to proclaim deliverance to the captive." You know, Satan's message to mankind is that you are hopelessly trapped. The Bible speaks of the snare of the devil. Jesus came to proclaim there's a way out. When there seems to be no way out, when you cannot think your way out, you cannot work your way out, you cannot buy your way out, when there is no way out at all, friends, I want you to know that God is the God of the supernatural. And what is super and natural is absolutely natural for our God. And so whatever you're facing this afternoon, whatever bondage may be over your life, Jesus said, I have come to set the captive free, to bring deliverance to the captive. He said, I've come to bring sight to the blind, spiritual blindness, physical blindness. I want you to know our God can do all things. He said, I've come to set at liberty them that are bruised. Friends, our world this afternoon is filled with emotionally bruised people. Children that are suffering, they are bruised by the fact they've been molested. Women that are suffering because they have been sexually abused. Men that have been fired, men that have been abused, broken relationships. He said, I have come. I have come to make a difference in your life. I've come to heal, to bring liberty from the bruises of your life. Yes, I've come to heal the mind and the emotions so that you might once again be whole. He said, I've come to let you know the acceptable year, proclaim or preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That simply means the favorable time of the Lord. I would say to you today, and it is so good to know, that today is the day of forgiveness. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of God speaking in this world. Then Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save the lost. Look at Luke chapter 19, verse 10. He says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. When you read out of Luke chapter 15, you will notice next time you read there that Jesus tells the story of a lost sheep, of a lost coin, and of a lost son. We call him the prodigal son. And I would say to you this afternoon that as you read that account, what you'll discover is the worth of the individual. Jesus said, there was one lost sheep, there was 99 safe in the fold, but his heart was after the one that was out wandering and in danger. There was 10 coins, one coin was lost, and the Bible tells us how the woman lit a candle and she began to sweep in places that she hadn't looked in for years in her home because she wanted to find that one lost coin. Then he tells the story of two sons, one that became prodigal, went his own way, left the father, and you know the story of the prodigal son. Jesus, I believe, gives us this account so that we might know the value that he places upon one individual. If you're the only person on planet Earth, you need to know that Jesus would have come from heaven above just for you. If you would have been the only person that would have ever received him as Lord and asked for forgiveness for sin, he still would have gone to the cross of Calvary because he loves you. And I want you to know this afternoon, Jesus came on a mission. We don't have to wonder about what that mission is. Jesus declared what the mission was. He said, I've come to seek and to save the lost. And then he said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Look at John 10 and verse 10. It says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have what? Say it, church. Have life. And that they might have it more what? Abundantly. Aren't you glad that Jesus came from heaven above? Came on a mission. A mission that no one, nothing could turn him aside. You know, there are times that I get distracted. Do you ever get distracted? I have gone to my basement on a mission, and I've gone down, my workbench is there, and I've gone to the basement, and I've stood there, not, why did I come down here? Ever been there? It is so stinking disgusting. Or worse yet, go to the refrigerator. open the door. What am I doing here? So easily distracted. You know, I find too that on my desk, don't go in my office, but on my desk I got one pile. That's a pile that I don't like what's in that pile. It's just stuff you got to do, and you know, and if there's any way around it, and that's why the pile gets bigger and bigger, because I make my way around it. And so you've got that pile, and how easy it is to get distracted in life. And the devil would have loved to distract Jesus and would have loved to have had him spend all of his time doing something else. So at the age of 12, he says, Mom and Dad, I respect you, and I understand that I have a responsibility being obedient to you, but you need to understand I'm here on a mission. I'm here on a mission from heaven above. No, you're not. You should have insights above everyone else on this planet, because you know that I am not the product of your natural love, that God has sent me. And Mary, Mom, you know the story. And Joseph, you know that she was pure and holy. Others may doubt it, but you know this. He said, no, you're not. Do you not understand that I must be about my Father's business? Why have I come? I've come to seek and to save the lost. I've come so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I have come, and the list goes on. We've gone through a very quick list. But Jesus declared, these are the reasons why I've come. I've come to set the captive free. I've come to bring joy where there's only heaviness and almost a life of hopelessness. I've come for you, and I've come on a mission from heaven above. Throughout our series on One Perfect Moment, let's go back then and just look at the Jerry Brooks version one more time. That is, but when the perfect moment in world history had fully come, nothing helter-skelter about the timing of Jesus' birth. At the perfect moment in world history, the Bible tells us that God sent his Son, the perfect gift, on a perfect mission to make a difference in our life. C.S. Lewis said this. He says, Jesus became a man so that we might have the privilege of becoming the sons of God.